My second year at Eastman, I had a bad breakup, and so I joined the army, like you do. And then when you come back, not only is there a just massive shift from military life to civilian life, but massive shift back to Eastman life. And so it was a terrible time for me, and I actually almost dropped out. But the second semester back is sort of the, como se dice, rite of passage semester, which is where you have your jury that determines if you're going to stay in school. You have, just a lot of stuff going on. And then you have the legendary 12-page Wagner paper that you have to write. And that process, I decided to get into it just out of nowhere. I knew that everyone else was going to hate it. And so I said, I'm going to love it. So I got the score, I got the music, and I listened to it nonstop, and I fell in love for the first time. Die Meistersinger von Nürnberg.
Bum, 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 bum.
That's the one. And the interesting thing is just the spiritual truth that I learned through it, like not even having to do with the storyline, but Stravinsky once said that Wagner has beautiful moments, but just torturous half hours. And learning that you have to be patient, and that my job as an audience isn't just to sit there and say, show me, but it's actually to interact and to put my heart into what I'm experiencing.
So it seems like it taught you patience.
Yeah, and love, mostly love.
What do you mean?
I learned to love things for what they are, not for what I wanted them to be, and not to hate things because they're not what I want them to be.
So tell me more about coming in from a military schedule into life in Eastman. How did it change you as a musician?
So I joined the army band, so it's not that I was completely out of it. You do 10 weeks of basic training, and I joined a Spanish church where everyone's last name was Diaz, so I wasn't very special. The second half of training is the advanced individual training, which is the Army School of Music, which you do probably, it's like a school, and you do from 7 to 4 every day. But it's not classical music. I'm playing jazz, I'm playing rock, and it's keyboards. So when I came back, I really hadn't touched a real piano in 8 months. And so getting back into the schedule of a minimum of 3 hours practicing real music, not trying to be rude or anything, just it's a different style and it requires something different. So that changed everything. But also it was a spiritual mindset change, because Eastman's sort of regimented in its own regard. Especially I had a new teacher, and he was a lot more strict about various things, which I wasn't used to. And now I love him dearly. It's Enrico Alisi, the great man.
It sounds like spirituality and church is very important to you.
Yeah, isn't it to everybody? music and Jesus, that's what I do. That's what I live for.
Tell me about your opera. Where did you get the idea for it, and what's it about?
I guess a big theme in my life is handling rejection like a boss, because I applied to Juilliard for a collaborative piano program for my master's degree, and I got in. Woo! But I didn't respond to their email on time, so they gave my spot to somebody else. I had to decide whether I would wallow in my own filth for a year or come up with something that would make that year even better than if I had gone to the city. Now, I had read about this man who went into the woods for 27 years and he robbed a village for food and supplies. This was a true story that happened in North Pond, Maine. And the village had no idea, really. I mean, the guy, his name's Christopher Knight, he did not interact with anybody. He slept in a tent all that time. And he would steal food, you know, he'd steal like propane tanks. And one of the evidences against him was that he was wearing a pair of pants that he had stolen about 3 weeks before. So I read that and it's super captivating, especially with, how do I say, this isolated age that we live in with social media, and there are just more and more people working remotely, that the fact that someone takes that completely to the extreme, and in 1986 he just drops everything, drives his car into the forest, leaves it there, and then just proceeds to live alone. And I mean, he reads all day, and this is in Maine, right? Winters. So he has this whole daily schedule about how to survive. But then also the impact it had on the village of, you know, an entire generation growing up, getting their stuff stolen.
Did they know he was out there?
They had no idea. I mean, maybe it was a gang. Maybe it was, you know, a criminal somewhere. Maybe it was a ghost, you know? There's just all these theories. And then when they find out that it's just this normal guy, a lot of questions are raised. Some people don't believe it. But the story, I mean, is huge. And a lot of art actually has been promoted by this. And he inspired a play. He's inspired some artistic work, and so now I'm just the next guy with an opera.
It must be a big role, his role. How would you describe his character in your opera?
I definitely take probably a lot more artistic liberty than I should, and I joke that I was 24 years old and this was only my first opera, so in way over my head. But the way I envisioned the character was, what if it was me? And I guess, what if Wagner hadn't entered my life and I didn't really learn how to love and ended up in the woods because I became disillusioned with the world? And so there's the first scene when we meet his younger self, and he's at a job interview for a school, and he's talking about himself. And then the next scene, he joins the modern day version of himself, and they sing about their life together. Various stories and how he had a wife and how he and ultimately cheated on her, and he was unable to get reconciled with that.
So what made him go into the woods? Just a general disillusionment?
Yeah, I would say so. At least my character. The true story, how do I say? I guess he just got bored. He's a very interesting guy. He obviously, after 27 years of not talking to anyone, any interviews that were had with him sort of didn't lead anywhere. but in my story, there's, yeah, disillusionment with life. There's a not really understanding his place in it and not really seeing the point of people. And he has a big sort of show off with his creator, which I think is really powerful.
So that sounds like it must be sort of a climax in the opera when he addresses God?
Yeah, definitely. There's a scene, maybe I shouldn't give it away, but there's an explosion on stage and he's within inches of his life. And that's when he really rededicates himself to the adventure gospel that he has written for himself.
Let me ask about you, and then we'll come back to the adventure gospel. What happened? So you didn't go to Juilliard. You have been playing in and around Rochester and making amazing music. And, you know, what is your trajectory right now?
My trajectory is hilariously semi-focused on wealth building. And I always had this negative attitude towards money, just because of the people I was surrounded with, and I did not come from money. And I remember when I got into Eastman, I went to high school in Florida, and people are like, how on earth are you going to afford that? And my thought was, why should only those rich kids get to go to the prestigious schools? So I had no plan. But now, as I've gotten into the music world, I think that there's a real need, not so much for more musicians, but for more entrepreneurial musicians. And that's always, when I was at school, that was a big thing I did. I thought it was weird that most people only maybe did one performance a year. I did 15 my whole time at my 4 years there. And they were different, you know, and I would recruit people to play with me. Twice I recruited orchestras so I could do some piano concertos with me conducting also. So that was always really important to me. And as I've seen what's available and how just the arts aren't necessarily doing all that hot in this nation, I realized that it is our fault. It's my fault if people don't want to see me. And it's my fault if people don't know about me, right? We've been too long dependent on the patron system, right? And so I envision for myself and hopefully for lots of other musicians a complete shift in that attitude. Because when I graduated from the Eastman School of Music, I was getting jobs, like you said, I was making music and money around the city, but I wasn't really in charge, and I got tired of that. And I hate to say it, but that happens to a lot of people. And what they sometimes don't realize is the fact that they went to Eastman means that they are geniuses and they can do anything that they've set their mind to. So that's what I'm doing. I'm learning real estate. I'm learning insurance. I'm helping people save money on life essential services. But I'm still focused on being an artist. So that's the main thing I do, and everything else is on the side to help promote the art.